So hi, it's Diane. It's September 13th at noon, and so far we have Lisa and Shara and Cheryl and Vilma. I know that a lot of folks are new. It's September, and so we've got some new folks. I want to just kind of briefly go through. Lisa, have you been on a PSS call before? I can't remember.
This is my first one.
This is your first one. Well, Cheryl and Vilma are both old-timers, but it's always good to kind of do a reminder of kind of how we handle the format. And so do you have the workbook and everything?
I listened to the orientation call. I've read the workbook up to where we're supposed to be, so I'm feeling pretty good
about
it. Awesome.
Look at you doing your homework. Good job.
Yeah.
That's great. Cool. Well, so today I think we're on page 14 and 15 of the – 15 and 17 of the workbook. And what we do in each one of the calls is we have everybody check in. And I like to do celebrations, so it's kind of like what's going well. If you want to check in on what's not going well and what's going well, please feel free to do that. And then we'll loop back around and take aim, and everybody will choose something to take aim on this week. We'll talk about the topic, and as we have time, we'll do some laser coaching and some support throughout the conversation. And then at the end of the call, we'll wrap up somewhere between 10 till and 5 till. We have the four questions that are in the workbook that everybody answers at the end, and we'll do the formal wrap-up. So, cool. So since Lisa's new, Vilma and Cheryl, if you could just start by introduce yourself as you check in and let everybody know the ages of your child. So I don't know who wants to check in first.
Okay, I've waited. This is Vilma. So I'm an older mom of a 19-year-old college student girl who's been diagnosed with ADHD and anxiety. And let me see. Yeah, that's the start. Now, should I do a congratulation or just an intro?
Celebrate. So what are you celebrating, Vilma? What's been going well for you?
Celebrating. Okay. Sense of humor has gone well for me. I've had it and she's had it. So we're on the same plane. So it's really taken the tension out of what can be difficulties like nagging as opposed to joking about something.
Interesting. So what do you notice is the most different for you?
It's fun. And I have more of a sense of accomplishment for myself that, oh, I think something clicked here. And she's more warmed up to considering whatever it is that is being, that used to make us tense. Like,
awesome.
For example, it's time to get, you said you wanted to go to school. There are many different ways of saying that, and I've been able to find funny ways of saying it, and she'll respond that way.
Awesome. Well, I love that because it helps her instead of it being why didn't you with a lot of judgment behind it. It's kind of a well, here we are again. You're still sleeping.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. So cool. Awesome. Love that.
Yep.
All right, Martha.
Yeah.
I see you joined us as well. We're just doing our check-in.
Okay. Hi.
All right,
haven't been with it in a while. It's been a lot of different things coming up and vacations and all, but my son is enrolled in a school and attending. So huge progress since we've ever met. So he had still had a little anxiety in just a few days, but this particular school is working with him and completely understands. So that's the big progress that I have and that my husband and him have kind of come to an understanding and been able to get on track with school and just been supportive.
That's awesome. Martha, there's a couple of new people on. If you can just let people know how old your son is.
Okay, yeah, my son, I have one child and he is 16 years old and he had previously been not he wasn't doing well in school, so we took him out to go online school, and then he wouldn't do the work. So now we've got him back into a – he's in a private school now that's working with him.
Awesome. Cool. All right, Cheryl, you want to check in and celebrate?
Sure. I'm Cheryl, and I have a daughter that's 13, and she was diagnosed with ADHD and some sensory issues also. And I guess I'm kind of celebrating a success because she's what I'm all concerned with right now is that she's really wanting to try a bunch of new activities, which is great. But of course, she's gone from like 0 to 180. She wants to do, you know, CrossFit, drama, basketball, voice, hip hop, you know. So I'm trying to like, how am I going to deal with all this? Like, I feel like she can't do everything, but she wants to. So Monday, Tuesday, two on Wednesday, Thursday, she's got activities plus school. So I told her this week we'll test them all, and then she's got to choose. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I just feel like, because this is the kid who, you know, half the time if she was signed up for some, I don't want to go today. She doesn't have good follow through. She never completed stuff. She never did team sports because she couldn't and didn't like it, whatever. And so for her, this is very unusual for her to be involved in this much.
Well, but so it sounds like you've got a celebration and a cautiousness, Cheryl, because you're excited that she's interested and she wants to try again and jump in, even though in the past she's had some challenges. But you're struggling with kind of figuring out how do you help her prioritize, or how do you help her choose in a way that can help her to be as successful as possible, both in school and some of the other fun stuff.
Exactly. Because the hip hop is a whole year commitment with the performance. I mean, it's super involved. And that's just you know, one out of all the stuff. So,
interesting. Cool. All right. So let's come back. So think about it, whether that's where you want to take aim, or we'll get real specific about taking aim as well, Cheryl.
Okay.
So, Lisa, why don't you go ahead and check in?
Okay. My name's Lisa, and my daughter is 12. She was diagnosed with ADHD. That's secondary to a condition she has called agenesis corpus callosum. So she was born without this part of her brain, the corpus callosum. And how that plays out for her is the symptoms of ADHD. And so just trying to help her and, you know, maybe some learning disabilities, maybe. I say maybe because we homeschooled and private schooled, and this is part of what I want to say is my success, is that she's in her first year of middle school in a public school for the first time, and it's going great so far. So that is a big success that I'm feeling good about.
That's great.
So, yeah, so that's the success. When things are going good for her, she brings that home, and then, therefore, things go well at home. And that's the success that I'm celebrating.
Yeah, awesome. Great. So, Lisa, have you been on a call before where we talked about taking aim? You listened to the orientation. We talked about that quite a bit, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the thing I'm going to remind you, because I was doing this with a client over email this week, and we were talking about the fact that we want to take aim specifically. So we want to get as narrowed down as we possibly can. So instead of just taking aim on mornings, we want to get curious and say, well, what part of mornings might be the place where we're getting stuck? And so let's, you know, take aim maybe on one part of the mornings. And we want to take aim on the challenge rather than the solution. And so the example I'll give you is that this parent was going to take aim on getting an IEP, and I was challenging her to say, okay, let's take a step back and focus in on what the challenge is that you're trying to solve. IEP might be one solution for it, but that there may be other approaches. And so we want to stay with focusing on the problem when we take aim. So then as we explore options, it gives us more opportunity to come up with alternative solutions. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, Martha, where do you want to take aim?
Yes. It's a toss-up because they're combined. Okay, I think I would like to work on getting him to bed by 10:30 at night.
So when you think about getting into bed at 10:30, what is it that's hard about him getting to bed at 10:30?
He is part of the issue we had with him missing school was he has been on this flip schedule, so he'll stay up all night, and then he can't go to school because he's too tired. He went one time when he was tired and he fell asleep, and, of course, that sent him to the principal, and he didn't want any part of that. So if he woke up tired, he won't go, you know, so and he won't go late and that sort of thing. So it's kind of a morning thing, but I think it roots back to the morning would kind of resolve better if he got to sleep. So taking aim at trying to convince, again, my husband and my son that we need to find a better night schedule where we're not all up at midnight, so that if we all, because it's good for all of us to try to wind down earlier and get to bed by 10:30 and maybe for us 11, then it would make for a better day the next day.
Okay. So I'm gonna push you to be a little bit more specific, but I'm gonna let you think about it till I loop back around, Martha, because I think that part of it is getting curious and saying, what is it about 10:30? Is he still upside down, like you were just remember languages that you used? Is it the fact that you guys don't have is it a challenge with transition from fun stuff to sleeping? Is it that you don't have a schedule to get everybody to sleep? I mean, so spend a few minutes as I'm going through the rest of the group and get a little curious about what is it about, you know, bed at 10:30 that's most challenging for you guys, and so it might help you to focus a little bit more clearly on one particular thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Vilma, where are you going to take aim this week?
I'm going to go with that sleep schedule, too. It's a constant, and it's hard to keep my sense of humor about.
So what is the challenge? So for you, what is the challenge that the lack of sleep, because sleep schedule is the solution. So let's go back to the challenge. What's your challenge?
The challenge is getting her to take her medication early enough in the day.
Ah.
Okay, so it's really about getting her. So it's not about the sleep as much as it is getting her to take her medication early in the day.
Well, it's a 1-2. Yeah, if she doesn't take it early enough, then she won't go to sleep till late, and then she takes her medication late the next day. You know, it's the cycle.
Well, I understand. So the question is,
let's start with the medication.
So meds early in the day.
Right.
Okay, cool. Lisa, where do you want to take? Sorry, Vilma, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
With a sense of humor.
With a sense of humor. Love that. Okay, Lisa, where do you want to take aim today?
Well, my daughter has a couple of coping strategies when she is completely overwhelmed. One is TV, the other is video games or something on her phone. And I want to take aim on helping her develop other skills for managing stress and overwhelm.
Okay. Cool. And tell me a little bit about why is it important for her to find other skills besides TV and video games for you?
Well, for one thing, it doesn't feel healthy to me to always just need to zone out. Number two, those things won't always be available. And I think she should have more tools in her toolbox and her repertoire, and she agrees with that. So those are the two main ones I can think of.
Okay, cool. So as we get curious, which would be the next stage, is kind of like, you know, ask yourself kind of what, you know, how much buy-in you have for her, you know, doing this. I mean, a lot of times part of the challenge in us wanting them to change is them seeing the value in something different. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just something to think about. Cheryl, what about you? Where are you going to take aim?
I guess on helping her make a selection of what all activities to do.
Okay. So do you know, going into this, how much you want her to be able to have, or is there a step before that where you have to decide how many is realistic, or is that, how does that fit into the decision-making, Cheryl?
Yeah, part of it fits in, but I guess I feel like I can't imagine that she'll be able to maintain this, since she's never been involved in hardly anything for very long, you know. So I'm very skeptical, but also I guess I don't really want her to do the year-long commitment thing, because that's just going to be a big commitment on my part too, that, that, you know, costumes and rehearsals and all that stuff for the whole year. So I don't know if I want to do that, but...
Well, and so I guess that's my question, because we're going to talk about putting your oxygen mask on first today. So I'm wondering whether the place you want to take aim might be, how do you decide what boundaries to put in place for her in helping her make the decision, which might be a step before just how do you help her make the decision? How does that resonate for you?
Oh, putting the boundaries in place? Yeah, yes, that's a good idea.
Because I'm guessing that if you went to her and you had no opinion at all about what she does, you're going to come up with a very different reaction than if you have in your mind what you think might work best for her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
How does that feel as a place to take aim?
That sounds good.
Okay. Cool. Let me just double check and make sure nobody else joined us. Nope, it's four folks on. So we are, again, we're in the workbook talking about putting your oxygen mask on first. And it was funny because I was on an airplane yesterday, and I totally forgot to do it, but I keep wanting to ask one of the flight attendants to take a great picture of an oxygen mask. But it's such an important thing to do. And I think so many of us, when we're working on this program, and Lisa, you know, you're brand new, and I think that it's surprising to some people that, well, you know, why do you put yourself on the list first? And this is, you know, a first call for a lot of people this week. And it is important, because what we forget is that if we're overwhelmed and worn out, and I just got off the phone with a client who has a hard time even getting her house clean because she's so overwhelmed with the stuff that's going on with her kids, that it makes it really difficult to do the things that we want to be able to do. So we put in self-care as a core part of our model and a core part of our training throughout the year, because if you fill your fountain, then you have water to give to someone else, and we forget. And so even the simple conversation that Cheryl was just having about, you know, well, can I handle her being in hip-hop for a whole year, and the investment of the uniforms and the, everything else, is kind of like, if we don't take the time to think through a lot of times how it impacts us, which we don't because we're very focused on our kids, it's a pretty normal reaction, it makes it, sometimes we don't even want to think about our own side of it. It's just too many variables. But if we forget to do that, then we do get worn out, and we do have a difficult time following through. We get stuck a lot of times. We feel kind of resentment, either actual resentment or passive-aggressive resentment. So it's kind of like, I'm so busy cleaning up after everybody else, who's going to come in and clean the house for me? You know, that sort of thing. But so it is really important in everything we do to make sure that whatever it is works for us and not just for our kids, or whatever it does takes into consideration for what's going to be easier for you, because we know that success breeds success, and it's not just success for our kids, but it's also success for you as a parent. So what comes up for you guys under this umbrella of putting your oxygen mask on first?
I guess I think
Go ahead.
I just think of making sure I have time with my friends or just something, activity each week that I do for myself.
So you know that if you have time with your friends, it's going to give you the energy to kind of get through the week.
Right.
So do you schedule
that
in advance?
One of the things that I definitely don't, yeah.
Finish your thought, Velma.
That wasn't me.
Sorry, says Martha. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I mixed up the voices. Sorry, Martha, finish your thought.
Oh, it's like, yeah, if I know it's the one break and chance to just recharge myself and be around other ladies that have children and have same situations, and we can just kind of recharge each other, that we're not in a boat alone, just like these phone calls. You know, it's amazing and great to know that all over the nation, these people have exactly the same thing going on, it sounds like, in their houses where, you know, getting the medicine so they will fall asleep, so they will wake up. So you can, and then they either want to do everything or they don't want to do anything, and then they sign up for stuff and don't follow through. So all that stuff that wears on me day in and day out, you know, it's having the time with my girlfriend and then having a date night with my husband. So it's kind of just in general specific, making sure that I do something for myself.
Awesome. Awesome. And how hard do you find that is to do that?
It can be very difficult some weeks, and that's why I have to treat it as important as trying to get an oxygen mask on. Is some weeks I may be able to get in two or three different activities, but at least one time a week I'm gonna do something. You know, call a friend and go get coffee or something.
Awesome. Love that. So somebody else was going to chime in.
I was going to say, this is Cheryl, that I really liked what you said about if we're successful, then our kids are successful. And I think I definitely focus too much on them being successful and forgetting that if I take the time to take care of myself, then that's going to pay it forward or, you know, down the line or whatever. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because I happened to be sitting near some families with children, and, you know, on the airplane, they give the speech every time. But the flight attendant actually spent time with each of the families that had infants and looked them in the eye and said, if the oxygen mask popped down, you put your own on first. I want to make sure you heard that, you know, and it's a hard thing to remember, and I remember the first time I traveled with my, you know, infant. My son's now 17, but, you know, the first time I was on a plane with him, and it was just him and I, and I was like, what do you mean? I put my oxygen mask on first, and, you know, a friend of mine says, well, if you're passed out on the floor, you can't help your kid, and it's hard to think about that because we are all so very focused on helping our kids. What is it that gets in the way of putting our oxygen mask on?
The mothering instinct.
The screaming child.
You know. I think it's the balancing the needs of family life and relationship. I want to get away in the evening, maybe to do something healthy with friends or something like a book club would be lovely, and then feeling a little bit guilty that I'm leaving my husband and family.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if it's something like that where it's kind of like, if you know, two nights a month, these are my sacred times, and it's only two times, and I'm, you know, make sure that all the homework's done early or whatever you need to do on those times, but, it, you know, sometimes it's about accommodating and planning for something that feeds you. And I know it sounds like, Martha, yours is going out with friends. Lisa, what do you do to feed yourself?
Well, I guess a variety of things. I mean, there's things that are good, you know, that I do by myself, like exercise and
And then there's things that I want to do more of, which is reach out and be connected, you know, with a community. Like I said, maybe a book club or, you know, just more regular things with girlfriends and making new friends and things like that. So trying to just balance it. And it doesn't always feel balanced. I think I would like to have more friendships. Or do more things with my friends.
Yeah, there's an exercise that some of you have been through Sanity School, and there's an exercise we do in Sanity School where we look at the wheel of life, and there's a wheel of self-care. And so if you think about all the things that feed you, whether it's eating right and exercise and time with friends, and for me it's time for personal development or spirituality or, you know, being out in nature, whatever those things are that feed you, you know, it's kind of like if you look at a wheel and it's kind of like how satisfied are you on self-care? You might be really satisfied on how clean your house looks, but if you, you know, it's a bumpy ride if you're, you know, if you're feeling completely disconnected from those other things that feed you.
I get from the website and Ministry of Totally ADD, I get their Friday funnies, which always crack me up, you know. And but this last week, they have these cartoon from Jelly Bean Comics, and it shows two ladies sitting at a table with a glass of wine, or actually there's a bottle there, but it's like seeing your BFF in your 30s. And one says, "How are you?" The other says, "Tired and busy. You? Same. See you again in 6 months." Yeah. So it's not like when you were young. It's like, yeah, you just don't get to see them as often.
Well, I wonder what it would take to kind of shift things around and make, you know, pick one thing to make it a priority.
Could I be more laser focused? Here.
Sure.
I would like to get input, feedback from everyone about this changing a schedule, having my daughter take a medication at the time that's most beneficial to her. So I don't want this to be a conflict. I don't want to nag. It doesn't work. What do I do? What are some good ideas for me to stay in a good mood about this and still work positively toward some kind of...
So can we put that on hold for just 1 minute? Because what I was going to then do is is Vilma take us back to our challenge area. So let's just kind of talk about first, just more generally, you know, what would it take for each of us, and I'm going to say us because we all need it. Mm-hmm. I need it too. It's kind of like to say, okay, if I want to have more time with girlfriends and do a book club, or if I want to, you know, more regularly remember to go to the gym or whatever it is in terms of self-care, what would it take to, you know, just pick one and make it a little bit of a priority? Take aim there.
Well, what I did is I joined at the club, the work at the gym, I joined a team, which meets at a regular time with a trainer, and I have to pay quite a bit of money for it. So if I miss, I'm out money, too. That's an incentive.
Right, so you've made the investment, and so now you feel like since you've made the investment, you're more likely to do it. That's awesome. That's great. A great way to motivate yourself.
I think it's going to show your child that when you make a commitment, you have to follow through.
Yeah, well, so you're demonstrating to your child. And I think the other thing is that self-care is a great thing to model to our kids. You know, it's eating right and getting enough sleep and all those other things that, you know, sometimes we don't do. And I think about our house. It's like, you know, I have a sleep issue at our house, and I often have to stay up later than I'd like to make sure my son gets to sleep. And, you know, whenever I say it's important that I get sleep, it feels good to say that. You know, for a couple of reasons. One, I'm standing up for myself, and then part of it is, you know, to model for him that getting enough sleep is important. So you're right, Martha. It's a good model.
Yeah.
So So let's take it back. Any other thoughts in terms of just generally about self-care?
I just know that I've been to the bottom, I would hope that I would say, and that I've even, you know, been to counseling. And my son, you know, one time when he didn't go to his counseling appointment, I went because I knew he'd be charged for the appointment. So I went and talked to the counselor, and I was saying how I had been in the place where I was just drained, and people were like, you've got to back off because you're putting the wall up between you and your son. And I was just struggling with that and wearing myself out because I can't let it go. He's my son. I am legally and, you know, in every way, I'm responsible for this child, and so I can't see letting it go. And then it finally, the counselor at this meeting said, but when you know you've done that all you can do, that's enough. And so that's been the thing that keeps going over and over in my mind is, I've done everything I know I can do for it, and then backing off and letting it, kind of letting him grow and learning from it type thing. So that's the only other thing I would say about why I now make sure that I don't drain myself, because it's just too easy to get yourself to where you just want to go crawl up in the bed and not do anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Lisa, any other thoughts you want to throw in here?
Just having this call is wonderful because it says it makes me maybe write it down and say I am going to try to connect with those women and I am going to, you know, make that call today and that kind of thing. So yeah, just instead of thinking about it, doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's go back to our challengers. Let's go back to the place where we took aim. And so Vilma was looking at the sleep schedule. Lisa, you were looking at your daughter and overwhelm and kind of helping her with other skills for overwhelm management. Cheryl was looking at the situation of all the commitments back to school time here. And Martha, yours was about bed schedules. So if you were going to start first with this challenge area and say, what could I do in this situation that would demonstrate putting my oxygen mask on first? Where would you focus on this particular challenge?
I would try getting myself in bed by 10:30 or 11. Because it's just as important for me to do it. Because I got to get up with him in the morning, and I've got a full day. I don't know that we – I think that we all do, you know, it never changes. You always need at least 8 hours of sleep, and I've recognized that my cycle seems to be 9 hours. So I need to be at least an hour ahead of him.
That makes sense.
But how hard, you know, and then that's leaving him, that would work because that would leave my husband, who is also one that needs to get more sleep, for the two of them that have the challenge, and they work better on the challenges together than me. So just do what I need to do for myself first.
Yeah, that makes sense. Makes sense. Who else?
This is Lisa. So what I can do is whenever I'm using a skill, I can, you know, sort of verbalize that and say, okay, look, I'm taking a deep breath here so that I'm not escalating. I could just sort of model and point out when I'm using different skills.
Love that. That's a skill. Actually, it's a skill called transparency. We talked about that in August. That was one of our tools, and that's a great way. And you're sharing with her, this is how I handle my overwhelm, and that can help her and give her an idea of other things that she could be doing besides just the TV and the video to chill out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lisa, what comes up for me is one of the things that we do a lot with younger kids is we have them create what we call a calm box. And with younger kids, it's sometimes it's more emotional intensity than it is overwhelm, but it can work for overwhelm as well. where it's kind of like they've got an idea of maybe even five things that they can do that will help them to manage their overwhelm or manage their emotional intensity. And so, you know, a nine-year-old kid might have a box that had a stuffed animal and a book and a certificate that says I can get a hug from mom, or it's, you know, a balloon so you remember the deep breaths or something like that. But, you know, part of this
what
is really kind
of
I call it a calm box.
Oh,
it's something you can create.
Okay.
A calm box.
Right.
Yeah. But everybody, I think that everybody, my heart is that everybody has a calm box. I want to have a calm box for me. So I know it's like, what is it that I do when I get overwhelmed? What is it that I do when I get upset? And it's not just one thing, but it's really kind of a whole toolkit. Because what happens is that we say, I had this happen to a client the other day. Her son's calming mechanism was to leave the room and go calm down. Well, he then gets into school, and he's not in a situation where he can actually leave the room. And so he's kind of stuck without an alternative. So part of this is kind of coming up with several things that help us. Same thing with oxygen mask. What are several things that help us feed ourselves? So the same thing with the overwhelm. Here, Lisa, I like that idea of, you know, kind of being transparent and sharing ideas with her.
Cool. Yeah, and I could just that those take seed and she tries them, because she does know a whole bunch of tools that she's learned in different settings, but she kind of has a lot of resistance to trying them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's going on for her that she's resisting?
I have no idea. I really don't know. That maybe that she doesn't care. And getting angry and getting overwhelmed maybe feels like a release to her. I don't know.
If I may pipe up or whatever, say something.
Go ahead.
One of the things that has occurred to me with my daughter is that it just seems like one more thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes her nervous. And she doesn't want to, you know, it's not a judgment about what it is, but it's another thing I must do, which makes her overwhelm easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay. So, I know Vilma asked for a little bit of laser coaching specifically around sleep schedule. Is there anybody else that has something pressing so I can just kind of budget my time here? Vilma, why don't we jump in a little bit and on the meds, and then we can leave time for at least one other person then. Does that make sense?
Right.
So when your daughter's 19, so my question always is for you when I start is, what's her level of buy-in in this situation?
She's bought into this notion.
So she wants to be
able to
regulate her sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what has she tried so far?
Going to bed earlier, but she doesn't give up the cell phone, and that can keep her awake for hours. So that didn't work. She won't give up her cell phone. Forget it. That's not going to happen.
Well, so I hear you say that she's bought in, but she has a boundary here. So I guess the question is, what's the downside if she doesn't fix this? What's her motivation?
Motivation is that her classes at college, she needs to get going in the morning so she can be awake for her classes.
Okay, and if she doesn't get up, what happens?
She's going to repeat last year, which was kind of a failure.
Okay.
Where she
so I guess I'm asking a more technical question. Is if she sleeps in, do you wake her up?
Yeah. Does it work? No.
Okay. So I guess I'm kind of curious because I hear you say that she has a lot of buy-in. And so what, you know, a kid with your choices are three right now. She's 19 years old, so I think I have a perspective of which one I think will work better. But you're in any parenting situation, my model is you can either be authoritarian, you can be collaborative, or you can let it go. And so we want to consciously make that choice to start with.
And
it depends on your child. It depends on the situation. So do you want to put down your foot and say, this is a rule? Is this something that you think is going to be better to be collaborative with her? Or is this something where you just kind of need to say, I need to let it go. She's never, you know, this is hers to own. I shouldn't be involved in it.
I haven't tried enough of how to be collaborative, so I'd like to try that.
Okay. And your daughter's 19, and I got to say that for most of us, when our kids get to be even 13 or 14, that collaborative problem solving is much more successful in getting buy-in and motivating our kids. So, so I guess the thing that's kind of coming up for me as I'm saying this is that if you want to be collaborative with her, Vilma, is that you treat it like we're treating it today, which is, you know, take a name together.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does have buy-in, it's kind of like, okay, so for the next 2 weeks or for the next period of time, all we're going to focus in on is getting you on a schedule so that you can get up and take your meds in the morning at the same time every day, if that's really what you're taking your aim on.
Right.
Is it really about taking the meds or is it really about getting her to class on time? Because those are two different things.
I don't know. It's 1, 2, 3. You know, it doesn't, they're all dependent on each other. Like getting to sleep, sleeping long enough, taking meds, going to class.
So I'm going to challenge you on that because if she stayed up till 4 in the morning and got to class on time, would you care?
Yes, I would because she couldn't pay attention. So it's paying attention.
That's a fair assumption, but it's still an assumption. So the question is, are you really trying to get her 8 hours of sleep? Are you trying to get her to class on time? I'm going to challenge you to take aim really specifically here.
Okay. I guess if nothing else, I guess the important aim is getting to class while conscious. You have to drive a long way to get there. By the way.
Well, and I guess so, that sounds like that's where her buy-in is, right? So she may not care if she gets any sleep, but she knows she needs to get to class on time. So,
well, if she doesn't get sleep, being in class is like not being.
No, I hear you. I hear you, and that's a reasonable. Very reasonable, logical explanation. And the question is where is her buy-in? Is her buy-in in solving, I need to be at school on time? Is her buy-in in, I've got to take my medication at the same time every day? Or is her buy-in in, I've got to get a certain number of hours of sleep a night?
Her buy-in is I got to be conscious when I'm in class.
Okay.
I got
to
be awake to be in class.
So
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay, all right. So I'm following this because this would work very well with the same thing. So when you're looking for their buy-in level, so you find that, you know, they really care about their school and they really want to do well in school. So we start from there and start brainstorming together and collaborating on a plan. As part of the plan, they come up with might include Do you think taking the medicine will help? Do you think getting more sleep would help? And then they're putting that plan together, but the buy-in we're trying to focus on is them getting to school, and then their result is recognizing, oh, I probably need to go to bed earlier, so I need to take my medicine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the piece of it, is that if you focus on the part of the – because the reality is that going to bed early is part of the solution. What they really want is to be in school on time, and as Vilma says, she wants her daughter to be conscious. But so if you're trying to collaborate, you want to collaborate from the place they have buy-in. And the reality is that they might say, okay, well, what are 16 different things we could try to get you out the door in the morning on time? Well, I could squirt you with water. We could, the thing we tried last week was you could make some pizza and put it on the counter in my bedroom so I smell the pizza, because the only thing I like more than sleep is pizza. And so that's what we tried last week and totally failed, but we tried it, right? And so it's the exercise of getting them to work with you to say, what else might I try? What else might I try? And so it becomes a detective game. This gets back, Vilma, into your comment about humor. You know, you can say, well, that didn't work. You know, that's hilarious. Yeah. What do we want to try now? Well, maybe if we had, maybe if I sang the Star Spangled Banner at the top of my lungs, that would help you to get up in the morning. Maybe if the dog came and I threw the dog on your bed, that would work. You know, so it's kind of, you're getting them into more of a creative sort of thing. But my point is that you want to focus in on the place where she has, you said you want to collaborate with her. So you want to focus in on the place where you have buy-in. And the truth is, it's the same for any of you. You know, whether your child is 12 or 13 or 15 or 19, you know, it's part of what I think Elaine and I teach more than anything is that you want to begin to use that collaborative model more and more so that they begin to take ownership of it, because eventually it's going to be their own.
Yeah.
Okay. So any other thoughts, as I was sharing with Vilma, any other questions that kind of came up? Cheryl, I'm curious kind of what you think you're going to do around the hip-hop and the everything else.
Yeah. Well, I thought I could maybe try to talk to some other moms about this program, like this dance place, and just really get some more feedback or details on what it will all involve. Because kind of like you were saying, I did mention that's going to be too much of a commitment. She's like, no, that's the main thing I want to do, you know. Probably right. Just because I said that, you know, something sort of negative about it.
Yeah.
But, I could do that. And, like I said, I'm just not sure if I should tell her straight that, okay, pick two. That's it. Or, you know.
What if she had to make out the schedule that actually showed her how much time involved each day it was going to be? So, like, she knows she's in school this amount of time. She knows she has to do this much homework time if she wants to eat, and then how much, you know, sleep she wants to get. And there's only that little bit of time. Is that really where she wants to, you know, eat, sleep, and live, is having to do that one activity?
Well, and I guess can I bump us up a level, Cheryl? I think that the question is how do you, what level of involvement do you think is going to be most helpful for her in making this decision? Is this a decision that you feel like it's going to be really valuable for her to have 100% decision making, or is it something that, you know, she's going to be willing to more collaborate with you on?
Well, I think she's going to have to collaborate with me just because I'm going to have to sort of manage the schedule a lot, because she'll forget, or, you know, she won't want to go to something probably. So I think she doesn't really see the big picture in her mind. But yeah. It is good stuff because it's exercise. Like Mondays and Wednesdays is just exercise. So I don't know.
So if you were going to make the decision for her, what would you decide?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure myself, I guess.
Well, that's interesting. It doesn't mean that you want to necessarily make the decision for her, but part of what I'm wondering is the fact that you're not sure part of what makes it hard for you to help her make the decision.
Yeah, that probably plays into it. I was just reading your article, actually, about everybody needs a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote that, right?
Yep, I did.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I don't think I don't think she really realizes how big of a commitment it's going to be week after week.
Yeah. So how can you help her to understand that more in a way that's going to be fun for her? Because I think that's part of it. She's really excited about this stuff. And so
she is. And she wants to make friends is mm-hmm. part of the thing, you know, like I feel like she has kind of sat at home a lot because she's had issues with sort of.
All I think of is that Brady Bunch issue where Marcia signed up for everything.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah, I'm dating myself. But reruns have been around.
Well, what happened?
She found out where her true friends were and decided to do what she really loved.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, and so I think that that's the question, Cheryl, is kind of like part of it is figuring out that there's different ways to make decisions. And, you know, at 13, my guess is part of what you want her to begin to do is to learn how to make decisions for herself. And so
right.
It might be a great opportunity. We were talking earlier, Lisa was mentioning transparency. It's like, you know, this might be a great opportunity for you to kind of be transparent and say, how do we make this decision? How do you make it? How do you know, it impacts me. So I don't want you to completely make, I'm not comfortable with you completely making it by yourself. But I want it to be as much of your decision as possible. How could we decide? You know, what are different ways to do it? And kind of just really being a little bit more transparent with her. How do you think that would play out?
She would, I don't know. She would listen or maybe, yeah, great. Then she'd be on to something else, probably.
Well, part of this is you know your kid. And so, you know, the reality is that you might be able to make a decision for her and she'll be mad for about a week and then she'll be fine. Or you know that she's, you know, this is really the time to take this opportunity to help her to make a decision. I think that's part of what you've got to think through. So,
all right.
So let's do our wrap-up questions. And Cheryl, I'll loop back to you as you kind of figure out how to wrap this all up in a pretty bow for yourself for the next couple weeks here, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we're on page, is it 17 in the workbook where the questions are? Somebody help me out who's got the workbook open.
Let's see. I walked away from the book.
Uh-huh. Hang on a second.
Yeah, page 17.
17. Okay, and so I would, as I'm looking at this, that self-care wheel of life is in your workbook. Take the time to do that exercise as part of your homework. I would encourage you to do that. But then on page 17, we have the four questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity, a takeaway, or an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And so, again, we want to always, we take aim and we don't try to do 17 different things. We want to just identify one or two things we're going to do as action steps. And then how can I set myself up for success with its action? What do I need in terms of accountability? What do I need in terms of self-care? What do I need? That sort of thing. So take a minute, jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from everybody at least one aha and one commitment. So let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I did mine already. I was listening to everyone, though, but I did do it. And my aha was working from her buy-in first, thinking about her buy-in, and then using that to start the process of collaborative problem solving. So that was great. Yeah.
So what are you going to take in terms of action steps, Lisa?
Mm-hmm. So I have two action steps. The first is I'm going to ask my husband, Brian, to join me in being transparent and talking about our stress management. And then the second thing I'm going to do is, like, talk to Noah. Her name is Noah. Just discuss it sort of like in a, you know, family-style meeting. We don't have official family meetings, but just sort of make the time to discuss this and start this collaborative problem solving about stress management. And when she gets totally overwhelmed because she kind of takes over the household with her anger.
Awesome. Love that.
So less of blame and less of shame and more of like collaborative problem solving.
Love that. Okay. Who's next?
Well, I have the same takeaway, that focusing on the buy-in that really helped me figure out where to start focusing, you know, aiming when we went through that. So what I saw is a cycle. Now I know the issue. So that really was helpful.
Awesome.
So what
are you
going to
do in terms of
follow-up?
Yeah.
Right. Your suggestions about squirting with water and the pizza and throwing the dog and stuff there, fabulous. That's the kind of stuff I need. Any ideas how to be, you know, lighten all of this up? So that's at least.
Well,
gives
and
me
so and then
my
guess that she's got ideas too. So share those crazy ideas with her, and then get the brainstorming going between the two of you.
Right. Yeah, and that I think will be much better way to have a discussion than it being another problem we have to solve.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks.
Martha?
Well, with it being the self-care wrap-up, I've pretty well focused on the self-care and being positive, feeling good about the progress I've made in that area and seeing how important it is, especially through this year program, of having to work on yourself and your shifting of ideas and attitudes and all to be able to help the other people in your life, and in our case, our kids. So the takeaway was like just making sure I had my self time, and then specifics area would be, if I'm wanting my son and my husband to get in bed early or something, okay, that means I really want myself in bed earlier. So getting to bed before 11, you know, and working it back to closer to 10:30. And then to help me succeed, I know I'm going to need to make some form of schedule that it work, you know, for myself. And then as they come about and hope to progress it into their buy-in.
Awesome. Cool. And so specifically to get yourself in bed,
yes,
are you going to set yourself up for success?
Is the schedule.
Yeah.
Because I got to, you know, if it's what's keeping me up, you know, getting curious on what's keeping me up, and then just to me, okay, making a schedule so all my activities are accounted for and I can see, oh, I'm over committed. That's why I never can get in bed. So rearranging it.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. So who's left? Cheryl.
Well, I think the aha for me was like the collaborative, like really I can share that with her and say, hey, you know, I want to make this decision with you, and we can work together on this, and maybe even sit down and write out the schedule so she can really see how involved this is going to be. And also, you know, we'll see how she likes, as she tries each one, how well she likes it all. So we'll see.
Yeah. So what do you need to do to set yourself up for success, Cheryl?
I guess follow through on that with her.
Okay. When are you going to do that?
I could actually do that in the car on the way to voice lessons today.
Awesome. Cool.
Because she's not right. One to sit down and talk, you know. It's always got to be while you're sort of doing something else.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. So we are, the next group call is in 2 weeks, the week of the 27th. The 27th is Tuesday. So, and then next week there is a Lifeline call at 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, the 20th. So those are the calls for the next couple weeks, and we will talk soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.